Psalm 119, verse 97. And let's read all 8 verses of this letter. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And let's pray again. Our Father, we thank you again for this word, and we thank you again for these 8 verses that we can look at this week. And I pray that you would open up your word to us, help us to understand it more deeply than we have before. Father, help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness this morning, and that we would find the sustenance that we need in your word. Help me. Speak through me as I endeavor to open up this passage. Father, speak to all of us. Encourage us. Lift us up. Help us. Give us the strength that we need to continue in this Christian walk. Amen. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. If you love something, it will very naturally be your joy to think about it. The psalmist loved the law of God, and he thought about it all the day. If you have a job, or if you have any responsibilities, there are going to be lots of things that you must think about that are not directly Scripture related. And I'm sure the psalmist had the same thing. The question is not so much what you think about most in the course of the day, but what thoughts do you cherish when your responsibilities aren't filling your mind? Even when you are quite busy, you can usually have that train of thought that's in the back of your mind you can keep coming back to every time you have a little break in your responsibilities aren't fully taking up your mind. What is that train of thought that you like, that you just enjoy keeping coming back to every time you have that opportunity? What's that train of thought? Is it the Scripture? And I really think that's what this man is talking about. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Make the Bible the subject you come back to every time you have a couple minutes to think. Every time you have a couple minutes of monotonous work that your responsibilities aren't entirely engulfing your thoughts, try to come back to Scripture. I guess what it really comes down to is love it. Love the Word of God. Make it what you love the most. And then it'll only be natural to think about it every time you have those little moments of time. And this is one of the clearest tests as to where you are in your spiritual walk. Those who love God love the law of God. Those who love the law of God will meditate on it. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. In Joshua 1, verse 8, we read, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Meditate in the Word of God, so that then you're able to keep all of it, and then you will have good success. The psalmist found that good success, and we find that through the rest of these verses. The next few verses we see what the success was, and we find that it's not quite the type of success that the world would classify as the highest level of success. We find that he was wiser than his enemies. He had more understanding than his teachers, more understanding than the ancients. He refrained his feet from every evil way. He didn't depart from God's judgments, and he hated every false way. And that was his success. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then, verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Notice the last phrase, for they are ever with me. It was God that made him wiser than his enemies, but it was through God's commandments. And it was because the psalmist kept those commandments ever with him. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. The full potential for you to become wise is right in front of you. The full potential for you to be wiser than your enemies is right in front of you. Well, you must appropriate it to yourself by keeping God's commands ever with you. You don't have the ability to become wiser than your enemies on yourself, by yourself. You need God to do that. But God has chosen a means by which He's going to do that. And it's through God's Word. And that must be appropriated to yourself by keeping those commands ever with you. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. If you have enemies trying to destroy you, this is the confidence that you need. You need to know that you're wiser than your enemies. And to know that, you need to be that. And to be that, you need the Word of God. The psalmist got this wisdom. He knew. He got the confidence because he first had the wisdom. And he had the wisdom because he had the Word of God and he kept it ever with him. And if you have enemies, this is what you need. You need the Word of God and you need to love the Word of God. You may think that you're wiser than your enemies. You may think that you're wiser, but unless you got your wisdom from the Word of God, it's worthless, and there is no way to know. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Moses tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these things and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The law put the nation of Israel on a plane far above all the nations around. God's commandments made the psalmist wiser than his enemies. And the Bible can make us wise if we keep it ever near us. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 13, 14, and 15, Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In spite of his enemies waxing worse and worse, in spite of the people around Timothy waxing worse and worse, Timothy had protection by continuing in what he had learned. Because he had learned from a childhood the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Another quote from William MacDonald: the humble believer equipped with the wisdom of the Word can see more on his knees than his enemies can on their tiptoes. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Which brings us back to the verse we're looking at. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. And then verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Not only was he wiser than his enemies, he was wiser than his teachers. All too many people think they have arrived when they might reach the level of their teachers. Whatever you're learning, let's say it be piano. I know there's some people learning piano here. When your teacher tells you, well, that's all I have to teach you, are you done or have you just begun? There's different ways to look at these sort of things. When your piano teacher has no more that she can teach you, you should say, I've just begun. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The psalmist was not, his goal wasn't to become as good as his teachers. His goal was to learn everything that God could teach him. And by meditating in the Word, and by loving the Word, and by loving God, there came that point when he realized he was past his teachers. What level of godliness is your goal? Are you content with where you are? Are you content with where your teachers are? Is there a human being on earth that you say, oh, if I could just be that? That's not the right attitude. Meditate in the Word of God. Love the Word of God. And have, then you will be in a position where you can surpass your teachers. Paul recommends striving for godliness as though only the single most godly man will be rewarded. And he writes, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And of course, we know from the rest of Scripture that in the Christian life, we're running a race that every single person who runs is rewarded. There's not just one who is rewarded. Every runner in this race gets a reward. But Paul is still admonishing us, run as though only one is going to get the reward. Not as to be better than your other fellow Christians, but to just simply be the very best you can before God. Run as though only you could get that prize. Run for all your might. Run. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The kind of effort that a runner puts into running, because only the very best will get a prize, is the kind of effort that we need to put into being a Christian. And you may ask the question, how do I run to obtain? And now Paul answers that question in the context of this verse. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:25-27, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." But the psalmist here gives us a big hint too, because he tells us how he passed up his teachers. And we see in the next verse, the ancients too. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." The psalmist had taken his eyes off his teachers. His teachers were no longer the goal. He had taken his eyes off his teachers and he was focusing on the Word of God. Meditating on it. And he ended up passing up his teachers. And so that's the challenge for us today. What's our goal? Are you content with where you are? Are you content with where your teachers are trying to take you? Or are you just engulfed in the Word of God, where you meditate on it day and night and you love it, and the Word of God is your goal? That's the attitude that will take you past your teachers. When you've taken your eyes off of them, and your eyes are on the Word of God alone. And then the next verse, Psalm 119, verse 100, he says, "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." In these three verses, verse 98, 99, and 100, show the three necessary things for God's Word to have effect in our hearts. In verse 98, "They are ever with me." He was always in God's Word, and God's Word was with him. Verse 99, "Thy testimonies are my meditation." Verse 100, "I keep thy precepts." The psalmist was not boasting here. Even though he started many of these verses with "I," he was not bragging about who he was. He was simply stating the facts and giving the reason for them. Rather than looking at this like a brag, we need to step back and realize, or I guess, and see it more in the light of him explaining how this happened. The people who knew this man, whoever he was, knew that he had passed up his teachers. They knew that he had passed up the ancients. He wasn't giving people new information. He wasn't bragging about himself. This is something that everybody who knew him knew, and he's explaining to them how it happened. That's more the light of how we have to read this. "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies." And here's the reason. "For they are ever with me." I have more understanding than all my teachers. Yeah, that's true. But he's not bragging about that. He's saying that just so that he can get to the reason for us to learn. "For thy testimonies are my meditation." And again, he's not bragging in this verse either when he says, "I understand more than the ancients." But he's saying that so that we can understand the importance of what he says next when he says, "Because I keep thy precepts." "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." This man read the Word of God, he thought on the Word of God, and he acted on the Word of God. And then verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. He says he refrained from evil to the intent that he might keep God's word. And I want you to notice two things here. One, there is no way to know what evil is except by the word of God. So if he had set out to avoid evil, he would have needed to know God's word to do so. And it goes the other way also. Because he had set out to keep God's word, it was paramount that he refrain from evil. Those two things are incompatible. You can't have evil and God's word. If you take one, you lose the other. If you take whichever one you take, whichever one you pursue, it forces you to leave the other one. They are entirely incompatible with each other. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. It's not the thrust of this verse, not the main thrust of this verse, but this verse is one of the hundreds of verses that express the absurdity of those who claim that one can be a Christian without living a godly life. He does not say he decided to refrain from evil as an addition to keeping God's word. He says, I have refrained my feet from evil that I might keep thy word. If you would keep God's word, you must refrain from evil. And then Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then 1 Peter 1:16, Peter quotes the Old Testament and he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Word of God requires holiness. The grace of God teaches holiness. And God Himself commands holiness. The Word of God requires holiness. The grace of God teaches holiness. And God commands holiness. And in this psalm, verse 101, we have written, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. That I might keep thy word. And in verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. I love how so frequently the psalmist remembers his need of God's help to do these things. He has just been talking about how he has surpassed. He's wiser than his enemies. He surpassed his teachers and he surpassed the ancients. And then when he comes down to the reason for this, when he comes down to the reason for his success, he does not say, I have not departed from thy judgments because I'm an amazing person. He does not say, I have not departed from thy judgments because I was so dedicated and worked so hard. Nor does he say, I have not departed from thy judgments because I surpassed my teachers and even the ancients. None of that. He says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. And he turns it back to God. In verse 33 of the same psalm, we have a very similar thing. He writes, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy judgments, and I shall keep it unto the end. If you teach yourself some spiritual thing without the help of God, in your own personal strength. People can change quite a bit. People can do things. But if you do it entirely on your own, you're not going to keep it unto the end. If it's in your own strength, it will eventually fall apart and fail. And that's why the psalmist says in verse 33 of Psalm 119, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. You teach me. So shall I keep it unto the end." And that's why he says here, "I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me." Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Is the Bible the words of some wise men, or is it the word of God? It's the word of God. Read it with that in mind, and let God change you. Let God teach you through His Word. "I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me." Verse 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Many foods that are delicious to one person are not delicious to the next. They're acquired tastes. And this may be a personal opinion because I love honey, but it just seems to me that most people would enjoy honey without having to acquire a taste for it. I'm sure there's exceptions. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Sweet. We enjoy bitter foods. I should say I enjoy bitter flavors. But it's still, just because I enjoy bitter flavors, it wouldn't be fitting to write, to use something like coffee. Honey, sweet, pleasant to the palate. And that's the way the psalmist viewed the Word of God. "Sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." But I fear that most people who enjoy the Word of God probably can't say they enjoy it as much as they enjoy their favorite food. And that's a real shame. If you decided to fast and you're going to go to bed hungry, how does that feeling compare to that day that you were really busy and you end up going to bed without reading the Bible? Which feeling makes you feel hungrier? Which feeling affects you more in your spirit? Do you feel hungrier going to bed without food? Or does your spirit feel hungrier going to bed without the Bible? And can you truly say with the psalmist, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth"? Or with Job when he said, "Neither have I gone back from thy command, from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job esteemed the word of God as more important than food. And the psalmist enjoyed the word of God more than dessert. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Let these things be a challenge to us,
to examine our own spiritual state and just ask the question, how much do I enjoy the Word of God? How much do I enjoy reading it? How much do I enjoy meditating on it? And can I truly say I enjoy it as much as a spoonful of honey or whatever you enjoy? Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah also had the same regard for God's law as Job and the psalmist did. And he says why at the end of that verse? For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. We know that we are called by the name of God. If we have been saved, we are called by God's own name. We are His children. And we ought to enjoy the Word of God as much as the psalmist. And we ought to esteem it above our food as Job. And it should be the joy and rejoicing of our heart as Jeremiah. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is twofold. If you set out to get understanding, you're going to hate everything that hinders, everything that is a stumbling block to that goal of getting understanding. Excuse me. And then two, if you get understanding, you're going to by nature hate everything that is contrary to understanding. So both in the process and in the attainment of understanding, you're going to hate every false way. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Another thing of note is just simply the strength of this word. He does not say dislike or some mild word, but he says straight up, hate. I hate every false way. Hate is a strong word, yet it's used here by inspiration of God. We have in Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The Christian has no business even disliking people. We have no business hating a single soul on earth. Yet, if you fear God, you will hate every false way. Hate. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Let's read the whole psalm, or the whole letter of the psalm. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you would put these feelings, these desires, and this heart of the psalmist into every heart that's here today. God, help us to desire your word. Help us to love your word. Meditate on your word. Think on your word. Read your word. Act on your word. God, that we would be wiser than our enemies and surpass our teachers and surpass the ancients, because our goal is not on them, but on your word. That we would focus and meditate on your word. God, that we would love your word more than food. And that it would be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. I pray, God, for every person here this morning, that we would take these things, apply them to our hearts. We wouldn't wiggle and weasel our way out, forget about these verses. But God, that we would think on this today, challenge our own hearts, and see our own sinfulness, see our own failures, see our own lack of love for your word. So help us, God. And we thank you for this passage. And we pray now that our fellowship would be honoring to you. And Father, as we meet again for next hour, Father, speak to us. Open your word. Open the hearts of every person here to receive your word. We'd be blessed and challenged and edified, that we would be knit together in love and in unity of truth. We'd be an encouragement to each other. We thank you, God, for all of your goodness to us.